Hello, and welcome to another episode of Take Me There,
a podcast about travel.
I'm Andrew Ford.
And I'm Alexandra Ford.
And we are taking a trip to jolly old England today.
We are. I feel like it's a really good episode. You know, it's coming out Christmas week, isn't it?
It's coming out on Christmas, I think.
Whoa! Merry Christmas, one and all. Although yeah. I guess in England they would say Happy Christmas. They don't say Merry Christmas
Why
as
not?
Much. Haven't you seen Love Actually? The whole time everyone's just like, Happy Christmas, Happy Christmas, Happy Christmas.
I never saw Love Actually, I think, when it had its cultural moment. Mm-hmm. And I watched it, I think, last year with you.
Yeah, and you were angry?
I thought it
hostile?
Was quite bad.
Yeah. It just, you kind of have to love it in spite of that if you're going to love it at all.
Yeah, it just didn't work for me.
Mm-hmm.
I get that there
it
are some...
It has not aged well.
No, it seems quite problematic.
It the whole top to bottom problematic, basically.
But you know who's not problematic at all?
Our guest?
Our guest. Siobhan Thompson is on the podcast today.
I was so glad that she was available to do this because, I mean, she's incredibly smart and so knowledgeable.
And we've done this type of episode a couple times where mm-hmm. we have somebody who's from an area and considers themselves... an expert or a pseudo expert on
sure.
the place. So she is talking to us about Southwest England. Mm-hmm.
Some of the hits of Southwest England include the town of Bath.
Uh-huh. Famous.
Mm-hmm.
A nearby Stonehenge.
Yeah. We get into that. And even a Stonehenge alternative that sounds even better to me, frankly, as an Outlander fan, because you can touch the rocks.
Yes. So we get into that.
Also,
we get
I know
into-
Outlander's not set in England. I just want to say that for the Huygens out there.
Yeah. But Outlander is pretty good. I mean, created by Ronald Moore and his mm-hmm. wife, who
yeah,
also
the
did the Battlestar
Gabaldon.
Galactica reboot, which yep. I was a big fan of.
Look, everyone should be watching Outlander.
Siobhan is not a writer on Outlander, but she is a writer on Rick and Morty currently. Uh-huh. And she used to be a writer and a cast member at College Humor. Just so funny and so delightful.
Yeah, you've probably seen her.
And she also gets into other day trips to do within England.
Yeah.
It's just a really interesting episode. She gets into Wales about like yeah. where else to go in England besides like London, which me, that was my bias of like, that's where people go when you go to England. And it's like, no, there's a lot more to it.
It's
there's
a very
a lot more.
Rich country. There's so much to see. And England is so beautiful.
Yep.
I mean, the whole British Isles, they're great.
The whole British Isles, they're great.
I didn't. Okay.
Honestly,
I deserve you laughing at me because I goofed. I done goofed.
What were you trying to say? Something
I was just
going to
say, like, you know, Scotland, Ireland, Wales, all of those places, they look really beautiful and I want to spend time there.
Uh-huh.
They seem amazing.
They seem amazing.
I've only ever been to London and Bath.
Yeah. But we will get into this little corner of merry old England with our guest, mm-hmm. Siobhan Thompson. Please enjoy.
Take it away.
Take it away.
Take us there.
Okay. Ready, set, go.
Go for it. So stupid.
Okay. We have a terrific episode for you today.
Fantastic. Oh my God. It's going to be so good.
We
yeah,
have
fantastic.
The talented, the incredible... Siobhan Thompson.
That's me. That's my name.
We are talking about, where are we talking about? We're talking about England.
Yes.
We're talking about England.
We're talking about Bath.
Yeah. And just like the Bath region,
yeah.
I feel like.
Yeah.
Like generically the Southwest.
Okay, cool. My experience in England is very limited. I've been to London.
Pretty much only been to my sister's house.
I've been to your sister's house in London.
That's it.
It's a big tourist trap.
Yep. Yeah.
It's huge.
It must have been very confusing
Tickets
when she moved houses.
Expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I've been to the Imperial War Museum in London, and that is it.
You know, that tracks, Andrew. That absolutely tracks. Of all of the free museums in London that you could go to.
You didn't go to Tower of London?
I don't think so. I went in middle school with my dad and my brother and my grandfather, and we were on a World War II tour of Europe.
Oh, God. We had to do for history GCSE, so when you're 16, we did a history trip. We were doing the First World War, and we went to Belgium and Eastern France for 10 days and just every day looked at graves.
Oh, God.
And trenches.
Uh-huh.
And just... Just a bus full of extremely horny teenagers crying over the graves of fallen soldiers every day. It was, I guess a good trip.
Yeah, it's hard to fuck after you've been looking at graves all day.
Yeah. The only like comparison thing I have is like, I as a kid who grew up Jewish, like you have to spend so much time like going to extra school after like middle school and high school to just like watch like Holocaust stuff. And you're like, this is awful. But also, I have a crush on everyone, so it's complicated. But didn't get to do it abroad, so that's cool.
Yeah.
Is it like a trip that like every 16-year-old gets to?
I feel like it happens a lot because it's so easy to it's so easy to get to the rest of Europe from England. You can just take a bus. It's like I don't feel like people in this country necessarily realize how small a country England is, but it's the size of New York State, or like I think a third of the size of Texas. So that's the whole of the country. Europe is very close. You can fly. It takes an hour.
Wow. Yes. It's like a little regional trip. It's like going to
Napa.
It's like going to Santa Fe.
Yes.
And it's like going to Santa Fe.
Speaking of how easy it is to get everywhere, that's fine.
Use your words.
I'm going to edit that out and I'm going to have me saying it perfectly.
Yeah, which
is
I believe
how
you.
Easy
you're
it is to get everywhere.
Edit it.
Yeah. I definitely do a lot of editing and I don't just leave in everything on this podcast.
It's concise, this podcast.
Travel history wise, as a kid, were you jumping around country to country a lot?
Yeah, we traveled a lot when I was a kid. I feel like people in the UK and in Europe generally just travel more. We get more holiday time. Mm-hmm. And it's just more expected. I feel like I maybe met one person ever that didn't have a passport.
Wow.
Because you have to have a passport to go to Europe.
Yeah. Right.
But Europe is so close, so why wouldn't you have a passport? Like, even just to go to, like, resorts in Portugal or Spain and go be in the sunshine for a week and only speak to other English people.
Oh, yeah. I had never heard of, like, Mallorca until I read about it in a book that was, like...
Ibiza. Yes. Costa del Sol. There's so many weird British enclaves at the Southern Mediterranean.
Yeah.
It's interesting because you don't think of it like as being the most American boy in existence. Like you would think beaches are like Florida, South Carolina.
Right. The Costa del Sol is the Florida of weirdly the UK in that it's a very, very British place. Traditionally, it was a place that like before... Spain had an extradition treaty with the UK because Spain was a dictatorship for a really long time until the early 70s. And so mobsters would take their money and go live in the Costa del Sol where there was no extradition treaty could just live in the sunshine and build a mansion for dirt cheap because it's Spain and they have a dictatorship and nobody has the money.
Wow.
That's cool.
That's very cool.
Yeah. I love an interesting fact.
Yeah.
I feel like Siobhan's going to be full of them.
Oh my God. So many interesting facts.
So what was it like as a kid? Like what was a normal or a typical family vacation?
I mean, the one that we took every year, which I didn't love. God, I hope my dad doesn't listen to this. is we would go camping in Wales in St. David's, which is like the... southwestern tip of Wales, which is it's the smallest city in Britain because a city in Britain is defined by if it has a cathedral or not.
Okay.
And St. David's has a cathedral, even though it's basically a village.
So it's so, like just the cathedral.
It's basically the cathedral and then the rest of it is just Montauk.
Got it.
It's like five little shops that sell beach things and like a surf shop and five pubs that are only open in the summer.
Wow.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And then a huge church.
Just such a huge church with like really important historical figures buried there. It's very, very beautiful.
Uh-huh.
And there's lots of like hearty outdoor pursuits type things to do there.
Okay.
But
this feels never... like an equivalent of me going as a kid. I used to go camping in the Adirondacks a lot.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if they're comparable, like, ecosystem-wise.
Yeah, I feel like similar. Yeah. Not in terms of, like, I mean, it also, it's Wales, so it rained every day, even in the summer. Like, it just rained.
That's the best for camping, honestly. I love when it rains.
Yeah, we went down, oh, maybe we were in Cornwall that year, because we went down, there was a full solar eclipse, and it was going to be a huge deal.
Oh, cool.
And it was just cloudy the whole time.
That's so optimistic the cloudiest country in the world was like, not today.
No, we're all going to go out, and we're going to watch the solar eclipse. Just it got dark while it was cloudy, and then it got light again. I don't know. Just very, very boring.
Look, you got to try. You got to get out there and hope.
You got to be optimistic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then we would do trips, I don't know, all over. We have family. I have family all over, spread to the wing. So we would go to Australia sometimes. I have my aunt and cousins in Melbourne, who I don't think any of them are there anymore. I guess my aunt is still there. And then... I don't know.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite trip from when you were a kid? Like one where you're like, this was the trip of my childhood?
We went to St. Lucia in the Caribbean, when I was tiny, tiny little, when my sister was not born yet. And that was like one of my first memories is that trip. We went to Florida and we went to Disney World in Florida and then went to St. Lucia, and I still have, like, a lot of memories of just beach.
Uh-huh.
I love a beach vacation. I feel like this is a good time for me to be having this, doing this podcast, because I really need a vacation.
So we gotta get you to a beach.
I think I need to go to a beach. I think I maybe need to go to, like, Mexico or something and sit and...
Mexico, Hawaii.
Drink stupid drinks out of a pineapple.
Yeah.
There is a place here called the Velvet Margarita that I go to sometimes that is extremely trashy and in the middle of Hollywood, but you can get a drink out of a pineapple or a coconut.
That's very nice. Like,
that's not nothing. That's
what is that other one that does that? Lono?
Oh, Lono. It's like been there in Hollywood? It's a Hawaiian
cocktail bar.
It's similar. Also it's Hollywood. All like Mai Tais and whatever. Yeah.
Great. There's a time and a place.
Yeah, absolutely. Have you been to Hawaii or Mexico before?
I have been to Hawaii. My family holidays with my mom... they would do this thing where we would go to a very exciting sounding place and she would really ramp us up. But what it really was they rented a house in the middle of nowhere and then didn't leave it.
Uh-huh.
So we did go to Hawaii, but we were in a house in the middle of nowhere and then we didn't leave it for 2 weeks.
Okay.
We did the same thing in Greece.
Uh-huh.
It was so hot. In Greece. Greece is so hot. It's like 42 degrees centigrade. So it's like 108 degrees,
and it feels like probably not a big air conditioning country.
There was no air conditioning. Yeah. There was one air conditioner. It was in their bedroom. We were sleeping on couches. It was cool. So rustic and so beautiful. And oh, you kids, you're getting so much Greek culture by staying in this house and not doing anything.
It's such an I get being a parent and having kids and traveling is probably exceedingly difficult.
Yes.
And it makes you really simplify your plans and like what you do.
Right. However,
you have to do something.
The last one she really got me and it was just before my graduation from university and she was like, we're going to Florence. And I was like, are you going to Florence? Are you going 2 hours outside of Florence to a house that you're not going to leave? And she was like, no, I promise you, we're actually going to Florence. And I believed her and I went. And I feel like such a brat for being like, oh, I had to go on holiday in Florence. But it was just a house in 2 hours away from Florence.
Right. That's the middle of nowhere.
Oh, she got you again?
She got me again. We went into Florence one time. And then she was like, great, so we've done Florence now. And then was like, oh, well, you can take the train in. It's like, what's it? It's a 3-hour walk through Vineyards to the train station. And then I don't have any money because I'm graduating university. How am I supposed to do this?
That's funny.
What do you think the thought process is around that kind of trip?
I think that they don't like doing anything.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Like my mom and my stepdad are pretty sort of isolationist.
They
sort of like their own time.
Okay.
And relaxing in their own way, which Great. Sure. Fine for them.
Everyone should travel
Everybody
how they
should
want.
Have the vacation that they want. Uh-huh. But I also am a strong believer in nobody should impose the vacation that they want on anybody else.
Absolutely. It's so funny because, like, that vacation, it's like it could happen anywhere. It's like just yeah. rent a house, like, yeah. 2 hours away from your house.
Yeah, go yeah. next door. Yeah. Doesn't matter. What are you getting
Turn
from
up
this?
The heat in the house next
why
door?
Why are we going for 2 weeks?
Yes.
Is it, like, why are we saving money but going for 2 weeks?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Also, to, like, to go somewhere where it's so hot and not have air conditioning.
Oh, I truly wanted to die so much.
Yeah.
Oh,
my God. That's a real nightmare.
Plus, I feel like the countries that love not having air conditioning Ooh. Are also deeply anti-ice in drinks. And you're yeah. just like, how am I supposed
very
to?
Very badly. Yeah. Greece, they're very good at, if you had a, they have these frappes, this coffee, Nescafe oh. frappes. Yes. That are delicious. Mm-hmm. And I got very into those, but yeah, no, it's.
I also got obsessed with those in Israel, and I think I was there for, I don't know, 10 days, probably uh-huh. gained 5 straight pounds just chugging 2 of those a day because yeah. they were delicious and
yeah, they're
everywhere.
Just yeah. So much sugar and.
Oh, yeah.
It's just sugar
it's like
and instant
vanilla
coffee.
Ice cream, instant coffee and chocolate syrup.
Just like shaken up.
It's so good.
It's great.
So, a lot of your childhood, you were scammed.
I was scammed. I was scammed out of a real vacation, and I'm owed, goddammit.
So, did that make you. Did you come away from that, I guess, with like. A negative view of vacation because of those?
No, I went away with it thinking I'm going to do this better. And I've sort of failed as an adult. I feel like America is bad for letting you just have a vacation, I feel like, uh-huh. especially in the industry that we work in. It's mm-hmm. like, but also like I waited tables for years in New York before I... made it in the business that we call show. And I could still go back to it if I need to. It's fine. I always have those skills. And then you're, you know, when you're auditioning and you're just waiting for that break to happen, it can happen so instantly. And there's always that stress of like, oh, if I take a week, what if the big thing
yeah.
comes
yes.
along?
If you want
what
to
if I don't
job,
get to
yeah.
audition for that national commercial that'll pay for my life for a year?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then... Well, I had a nice vacation, but I have to keep working in the restaurant because I didn't book the commercial.
Right.
Yeah, I felt like I was at that point, like, last year where I was like, oh, I can't go anywhere. Like, something could happen yeah. at any moment. And then nothing happened.
Yes.
And then I was like, okay, this year I'm just going to travel.
Yeah.
Like, when I can. I mean, within my means, obviously. But, like, try to travel as much as possible. And, like, if something happens, like... I will take that loss
yeah,
and like
yeah.
cancel all that stuff. But it's like,
it has to be really good though.
What?
The, like the opportunity, if you find out about it with like enough time to cancel your trip.
Right.
Sure.
Cause right before we left for our last trip, I got an audition cause I knew that I would the minute that we booked something,
uh-huh.
but it was for like a Disney Channel thing. And I was like, is that worth
oh,
not to shit on the Disney
our whole
Channel.
Trip. Yeah. yeah. That's always the thing. It's
yeah.
like, well,
you
I'm
get self-tape.
Yes.
Yeah. Self-tape it on vacation. Like, vacation
self-tape.
Substitute
teacher. So, yeah, but I hear that.
Yeah, yeah. So have you gone as an adult, like what kind of traveling have you done, if any at all, I guess?
I mean, I feel like so much of my travel now is when I have a break, I go and see my family. And my mom now lives in, sorry, they made me drink seltzer and now I'm burping.
Sorry.
it was my choice. It's fine. It's my choice. My mom now lives in British Columbia and then my dad lives still in the southwest of England.
Got it.
And so if I have a break, I feel like that's generally where I go.
Because yeah.
I don't get to see them very often.
Right.
Because I live a very long continent away. And especially for England, it's so hard with... time zones, even just to call.
Yeah.
Like every time I think, oh, I should call my dad, it's like 5 a.m. there.
Yeah.
We're my always... sister always calls me at like in between like 11 a.m. and 2 p.m.
Yeah.
And like that's kind of it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because it's usually like when she's walking home from work or she's like picking up my niece from school. Uh-huh. But
that's it.
That's the
it.
Window.
Yeah. I do that time difference. We went on a trip to Paris a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Found some dirt cheap tickets.
Nice.
Was worried something would happen. Nothing happened.
Great. Mm-hmm.
So it was great. But
well,
we were
it was
there.
Over Thanksgiving, so.
Yeah, it was over Thanksgiving. That's the other hack is you can, like, do it over holidays.
Right.
Like, a lot of people I know, like Travis Helwig, former guest of the podcast, he always takes a trip like over Christmas, New Year's.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's kind of a, like a safety trip because you're not going to have anything to do.
Right. But at the expense of not getting to see your family.
Yes. Right, that is the problem. Yeah. You have to take that trade-off.
Do you go home for the holidays every year?
Yeah. I'm going home on Friday.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And this time is British Columbia or England?
This time is back to England. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
How long do you usually stay? Like 2 weeks?
Yeah, I'm going 10 days this time. So I'm back for New Year's, which I don't know. New Year's is a garbage holiday. Yep. Totally. I don't know if I've ever had a good New Year's.
We are staying on the East Coast through New Year's specifically to avoid it.
Yeah.
Because I just feel like it turns into this thing of like kind of waiting to get the best offer for plans.
Right.
And then if you don't, or if you say yes to something.
We already got the best offer. We are staying in a house on frozen Cape Cod with your mom.
Oh, no. Yeah. I've done Cape Cod in the winter. It's a place. It's cold.
There's maybe we're going to, I don't know. We're probably just going to watch screeners.
Yeah, that's probably going to go. Yeah.
That's how you do it.
Yep.
So,
England.
Let's talk England. Let's get to freaking England.
Yes. Yeah, so I grew up in Bath, which is a big tourist town, and I feel like a lot of people... And then I went to school for a little bit in Oxford. So I feel like I know a good run of like, oh, here are places that you can go to that are a little off the beaten path.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Do you want to start... Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, sure.
Do you want to start with, like, what are the big tourist things that people do, and do you like them or dislike them?
Yeah. Well, Bath... is the whole city is kind of a thing that people do because it's the whole city is a World Heritage Site.
Uh-huh.
And it was all built within like a 50-year period. It's architecturally all very similar. It has like a whole vibe. And the big thing to do in the city is to go to the Roman baths, which I think are really cool.
They are cool. I've been once and was disappointed that, I was eight, but I didn't realize that you couldn't actually go in them.
No, but now they have a spa.
That's cool.
Yeah. So it's not actually in the Roman baths now, but it's like, there's a bunch of hot springs in Bath. That's why it's called that.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're like weird millennium project. Was that they built like a big spa that you can swim in the hot springs.
Gotcha. Wow. That's so funny. It feels like the Yelp review for this city was like me as an 8-year-old being like, couldn't actually take a bath, was let down. And so you're like, okay, gotta get
it together.
But
you can drink the water, which is disgusting.
Oh, no.
Is it supposed to have like healing properties of some sort?
Right, exactly. Yeah. But it's very sulfurous because they're hot springs from like volcanic... airflow. It's not
so many hot springs. They got a real stink to them.
Yeah,
that's their thing.
That same with that one that we went to in New Mexico.
Uh-huh.
Ojo Caliente.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That really stunk. That
that's
whole
a
place.
Great name, though. Ojo Caliente. So that's the big one, and then there's like a tea rooms next door that is like the classic.
Mm.
Your classic English tea rooms. You'll get a like string quartet playing.
And is the normal tourist route, like you go to London and then you take like a bus out to Bath?
Yeah, you can take the train to Bath. It's like 2 hours from London, 2.5 hours. And it's like a decent day trip.
Yeah.
Or a weekend. And then from Bath, you can get to Stonehenge very easily.
Okay.
But here's my first insider tip is to skip Stonehenge.
Mm-hmm.
You can drive past Stonehenge and you can see Stonehenge and say, oh, there's Stonehenge.
Is it like a I've never been there. Is it like a park where like you can just drive right up to the freaking rocks?
No.
Or like
no, you can, but you can drive close enough that you can see them. It's actually weirdly within an army training ground. So
cool.
Like there's not
I don't think I realized that.
Yeah,
that's
Salisbury
crazy.
Plain is like you couldn't often be like, oh, there's tanks.
Yeah. Wow.
But also Stonehenge.
Yeah.
So instead of going to Stonehenge, or as well as if you're feeling crazy, but you want that Stonehenge experience, I would go to Avebury, which is a village very close to Stonehenge, which is basically Stonehenge that's big enough to have an entire village inside of it.
Wow.
Oh.
Yeah. So you can park, walk down the Ridgeway, which is an old Roman road. There's two big Roman roads that crossed the UK, the Ridgeway and the Fossway.
Okay.
And they're still kind of there. A lot of the English roads still follow them. But you can walk down the Ridgeway, and then at a certain point you hit like a passage of standing stones, and then you walk in to the actual Henge Monument. The Henge Monument itself is not the stones. The Henge Monument is the bank and the gully. And then you can walk in and it's all these standing stones, just huge. You can't really see the edge of it. And then there's a village inside of it. And then you can go to the pub and have a drink.
That's cool.
You don't have to. There's a little museum there. It's very cute. The last time I was there, which to be fair was a while ago, like a big part of the exhibit was like, here's the body of a dentist that died underneath one of the rocks. He went to sleep by a rock and the rock fell on top of him and now he's in a museum.
I love it so much.
But it's like a lovely little village and the pub is like, there's actually, I think maybe two pubs that are pretty decent.
Yeah.
And it's like more of a... You don't have to deal with the sort of funnel through of Stonehenge.
Yeah, the like tourism industry that's, I assume, all over it.
It's not that it's like, it's not that they're selling mad merch at Stonehenge, but you can't go anywhere near the stones, really.
Yeah.
Except for at summer solstice, which is like a weirdly they let a rave happen. But the rest of the time you can't go anywhere near the stones. But at Avebury you can touch the stones.
Cool.
That's cool. That's such a better tip. That's such a better idea. Incredible. No one go to Stonehenge.
Yeah.
Just go to the...
This is like, we, one time when we went to our first trip to France together, we were like, should we go to Versailles? And then I found this other one that was called Vaux-le-Vicomte, which is the house that inspired Versailles.
Ooh.
Which... It has a great story, too.
Yeah, so basically, like, the finance minister for, I guess, Louis XVI was I'm going to build this amazing house, and I'm going to have this big party, and I'm going to invite Louis XVI, and he's going to be so psyched about my house. And so he does that, and then Louis XVI is like, no way you're fucking having this house, and I'm not. So he immediately, at the party, like, strips him of his title, has him arrested, and then is like, cool, this house is over, and hires everyone who works on it to subsequently build Versailles, like, great. Immediately. Yeah. Kills that guy, like, 2 days later.
Yeah, it was great.
Isn't it great to be a king?
It was great. Also, it was where they filmed Man in the Iron Mask, a formative film of my also, teenage years.
Very important.
They had a little prop, like a Halloween story. Mm-hmm. Skeleton in a room. Great. And it was very cute. And also there was a tour group
of little French children
learning about whatever.
Great.
And one of the things they had the kids do was they dressed them as peasants and then made them work in the field, like pretend gardening like in the field.
Man, didn't they cut off Marie Antoinette's head for doing that?
So that was good. But that place was cool. And there was no one. There was
like just us and the peasant
just
children.
Us, yeah. And it was the same.
Man, I just remembered we went to the Roman baths dressed as Romans.
Really?
So many times as a kid.
That was cute.
Everybody dresses in a little toga and go down to the Roman baths.
When I Googled the Roman baths before this, I saw that they had like sort of like a living history moment, like a woman in a...
Like a colonial Williamsburg type
kind
thing?
Kind of. Like, it's not, that's not what the Roman baths are.
Uh-huh.
But it was like just a brochure photo of a woman doing that. So maybe they do it sometimes.
Yeah, that's cool.
Cute. That's an amazing tip about
Alterna
Stonehenge.
Yeah. I would also go to, if you're like a garden person, talking about Stonehenge.
Yeah.
There's a beautiful garden and tea rooms and stately home called Stourhead.
Okay.
Nearby that we would go to, and also the Westonbirt Arboretum, that are both within a half hour drive of Bath, and they're just really, really beautiful. The Stourhead is full of follies, so it's just like some rich person built like, oh, here's a Greek temple, and here's like some weird underground grotto.
Oh,
and
wow.
As you walk around the lake, like different little follies get revealed.
Oh, cool.
Very Insta-friendly.
Wow.
Makes you look like you've been to a lot of different places.
I love this.
And then Westonbirt Arboretum is just like incredibly beautiful trees. Like they just got the most beautiful trees from around the world and planted them, and then you get to go and see them.
Oh my god. I mean, I love a garden. I love Huntington out here, but I'm sure this is like way better.
It's like definitely has a Huntington feel.
Okay.
Yeah. Huntington's great.
Yeah, it's so nice.
Cool.
It's so chill.
Yeah.
I did not expect to like Huntington as much as I did, but really Huntington, for people that don't know, is a garden in Pasadena that has lots of different ecosystems of plants.
And it's huge.
So huge.
So big.
Yeah. It's very cool.
Yeah.
That's a great place to take your parents.
Oh, yeah. It's a real family-friendly trip.
Yes. Well, that's a good tip if you're traveling to England with family, is to go to walk around some gardens.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there's, like, a whole, I don't know all about it at all, but, like, there's a whole, like methodology to English gardening specifically, mm-hmm. right? Like, it's very meticulously planned.
Yeah, there's a very specific, one of the great examples of a ha-ha. Do you know what a ha-ha
no,
is?
No, teach us.
So a ha-ha, it's just a bit. It's a gardening bit. So basically it's two lawns that one of them is set slightly lower than the other, okay. down a slope. Uh-huh. So as you're looking down, you can't see that there's a 2-foot fall.
Oh God.
And that's why it's called a ha ha, because people fall off it and then you laugh at them.
That's so
fun. That's a fun ha. I'd love to break my ankle on a ha ha.
Yeah.
Sounds great.
It's the NHS is there for you. Yes. So you don't have to worry about paying for insurance.
Oh my God. That's so amazing.
Yeah.
Is there anything else in Southwest England that you'd
I mean,
recommend?
Bath is really amazing and there's lots of stuff. Bath, I feel like it's worth buying, like, there's good walking tours. It's a very walkable city.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And there's so much weird history there. Like, so much of it was built by the Masons. Mm. And there's lots of weird Masonic imagery if you're there to look for it.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
little Denver airport action.
Right, exactly. Except for this stuff is real. like, the three main streets, the circus, God, a street whose name I've forgotten, and then the Royal Crescent are shaped like a key, which is a big Masonic symbol. Uh-huh. And then the circus is the same diameter as Stonehenge, the same exact diameter.
Oh.
And then there's like weird Masonic imagery all along the buildings. There's oak leaves and acorns and like weird, like if you're into that kind of conspiracy theory stuff, there's like a bunch of that stuff there.
Okay.
And then so much Jane Austen stuff. Like if you're a Jane Austen head, there's a museum there that's pretty good. And you can just also like wander around and like so much of that, so many of the places in all of the Jane Austen books are still there. You can still go to the halls where they did the dances. And there's just pictures of people dancing everywhere. There's a great costume museum in Bath.
Oh, yeah.
It's like amazing. And there's like a bunch of incredible like Jane Austen era, just impeccably kept Empire line dresses.
Mm.
Do you know what that means? Empire line. I was actually thinking about this morning. I was brushing my teeth and I was like, how much Jane Austen content have you even absorbed in your
zero.
Life? Zero. You've never even seen Emma?
Brother.
I've never seen Emma.
Oh my God. Emma's so good.
Emma's so good.
Well, I've seen Clueless.
Okay, that's something.
Well, that counts. Colin Firth, Pride and Prejudice, the BBC one, was like a important moment in my sexual awakening as a young girl. Yep.
What are the Jane Austen?
He's single now, did you know?
I saw. Because his wife cheated on him.
Wow.
Wow.
That's a real power move.
That's a real power move. Yeah.
There's like a whole thing where like his wife had an affair with this journalist and then the journalist like threatened to blackmail both of them and then they got back together.
Oh,
and
boy.
And now they broke up again.
Whoa.
Yeah. Heartbreaking.
Yes.
Damn.
But I'm ready for him and he's ready for me.
Perfect.
So it's great. Go. This is...
So if I'm gonna learn about Jane Austen right,
yeah,
what are the top three books I gotta read?
Oh, that's so easy because she only wrote six.
Oh, well, I'm not reading six, so three is fine.
I mean, I gotta say, Emma, Pride and Prejudice, and Persuasion.
Okay,
I think are the
Emma,
top three.
There's a remake coming out, right?
Yes,
with there's a movie
Anya
coming
Taylor out? Joy and Bill Nye.
Oh, okay, and I think that also the Emma Thompson Sense and Sensibility
incredible.
Movie. Incredible. She won an Oscar for it. She stars in it.
Young
she wrote
Kate
it.
Winslet.
I'll watch a movie.
Young Kate Winslet.
Hugh Grant?
No, it's... what's his name that plays Mr. Willoughby? Then Emma Thompson married him.
Here.
I'm going to lose my...
Kenneth
Branagh was
married to
her.
No, it's not Kenneth Branagh. It's after Kenneth Branagh. This is so embarrassing.
All right, we're going to all think about it.
Anyway,
I'm going to look it up.
It's very dreamy.
We'll do this.
And Alan Rickman is also in it.
Alan Rickman.
Yeah, Alan Rickman's
so
great.
Dreamy in that movie.
It's really, really a great movie.
Didn't you say that guy from Succession, is he British?
Tom? Yes. Oh my God. He
and he used to be a heartthrob, right?
British, yeah. What a strange transition that he's gone through from being a true British heartthrob to absolute fool.
I feel like
and he's so good at both. It's very strange.
Did you know that he's married to
Katie Hawes? I didn't know that.
Oh my God. Yeah, that's I was so obsessed.
Absolute
with that.
Hot couple.
Yeah.
From MI5.
Oh my God. Jane Austen, you were asking about.
I don't care about that. Oh my God. I'll read a book.
You should read a book. She's really very good.
Okay. I understand that I come off as very ignorant because I just haven't read a lot of classic books.
Here is what I've been doing is do you have a library card?
I do. I have both a LA library card and you can get a Glendale card if you live in LA.
Well, there you go. Do you have Libby?
I do have Libby.
Well, then listen to it on Libby.
That'll do. There I can listen to things.
Right? See, this is what I've been doing.
I'm so tired.
Yeah. It's like you're listening to it for free. I'll listen to things that I wouldn't normally listen to.
Yeah.
And then if I hate it, I don't have to listen to it.
Have you done other classics recently?
I'm about to listen to The Pickwick Papers, which I've never listened to. I'm not like a huge Dickens person.
Sure.
Okay.
But it felt like a gap.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yeah.
Sometimes you just got to fill that gap in.
Sometimes I'm watching Jeopardy and a category comes up and I'm just like, I don't know anything. There's no way I'm even going to get one of these.
Oh, yeah. Any sports ones on Jeopardy. I mean, even apart from the fact that they're American sports. And so, like, I have an extra level of not knowing. But even if they were like...
Right.
No, you used to be a trivia host.
I remember. Yes,
I used
did.
To play in your. I used to play
really?
In the trivia game that you and Avery Munson hosted.
It was very fun, but also at a certain point we got tired.
Yeah.
Oh, I can imagine.
That's where. So, if you didn't already know, I'm a bit of a nerd, and I was on a trivia team with friends of mine, with Chris, with Mike Antonucci, with some other people.
And
Travis, I think, was on that team, right?
Won the citywide trivia championship. Why did you do that?
Well, we won it because of you.
Correct.
Nice.
But she never played with us, but she came to play with us one time.
Uh-huh.
And speaking of categories that people can't get, it was all very intellectual, very normal trivia. And then one of the categories was guess which celebrity this is just from a close-up of their eye. And other teams got straight zeros in that category. And she got 10 out of 10.
I did.
And that... let us win the New York City trivia championship.
Amazing.
It was incredible.
That's my...
I definitely had some weeks on that trivia thing where I was like, this is going to be an easy one. And just the upbringing that I had was so different from everybody else's upbringing.
Oh, I remember these questions because we would all just go, that's a Siobhan question.
There was one week I was like, oh, this will be fun. I'll have them draw leaves.
This will be
like a nice, easy thing. Because I grew up in the countryside... and it like at a village school where they would every day take us out into nature and be like, this is what an oak tree looks like. This is a sycamore.
Nice.
This is a horse chestnut.
Oh my God.
And so I just didn't think like, oh, maybe not everybody had that experience. Yeah.
I used to really love those rounds because they would make me laugh so much.
Oh yeah. It was fun because I also was, it's fun to yell at people for being.
Yeah. I mean, has like a big part of your experience in America just being like, wow, everyone is so dumb. Like, we don't know. I'm sure.
Well, it's just different stuff we know.
That's, I guess.
I guess. We're also a little dumb.
I do feel like I consume less sort of highbrow media now because I feel like my peers don't.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, interesting.
Like, I used to read a play a week because that was what was culturally expected.
Was there a lot of like memorization in your education when you were?
Oh my God, so much memorization!
It's a European thing.
This is a European thing.
So much memorization, and we also had to use a fountain pen from the age of 7.
Really?
Yeah, we were not allowed to use anything but a fountain pen.
Are you really good with a fountain pen now?
No, I'm garbage with it. I'm very left-handed. It just had ink all over my hands.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. No, there was a lot of. I just have big chunks of.
Do you have like certain
I can
poems?
Tell you the first paragraph of Emma if you like.
There we go.
Here we go. Emma Woodhouse, handsome, clever, rich, with a comfortable home and happy disposition.
This is all copyright free, right? We're
cool,
good.
Emma's
public domain.
Yeah.
Should I do like, they did, oh, that's right, because they did like Pride and Prejudice and Zombies.
Yeah, don't read that one.
But it's the same, right?
No, it's not. I actually did start reading it, and it is a good parody.
Sure.
And they do a very good job with the language. But at a certain point, you're like, Yeah, okay, I get it.
Yeah.
It's Pride and Prejudice with zombies.
We saw that Shakespeare play, though. What? With Tom Hanks, remember?
Yeah, we left it.
Oh, I saw that Shakespeare play at Shakespeare in the Park. Yes. Yeah. Tom Hanks was very good. It's not a good play.
No. We only stayed for the first half because it was like a 4-hour performance or something. But I thought he was lovely as whatever that guy's name was.
A lot of other TV actors were not.
Yes. No.
Lovely in it.
No. I thought that was a mixed production. The whole thing just made me
very sad that we weren't in New York.
Why? Yeah. Oh, for theater.
Yeah.
Yeah, the theater in New York is better. Yeah.
Well, you know the problem is I've never seen a play, though.
Oh, right. Was that your first Shakespeare play that you'd ever seen? I think that's the
first play I've ever seen. Oh, my God,
that's so cute.
Well, I've seen musicals.
But you've never seen, that's like, not a play.
That's not a play.
See, that's another thing that you can do in Bath, because the Theatre Royal there is like a big, there's a lot of big theatre festivals that go through there, and then a lot of tours go through on their way into London. They'll do like a final test in Bath.
Interesting.
Like, I got to see, like, one of my big memories is seeing Suddenly Last Summer with Rachel Weisz just before she got like super famous. It was like,
that's amazing,
a mind-blowing theatrical experience. And like Amadeus with David Suchet, and like Peter Hall does a Shakespeare and like weird festival there every year, and or did before he died, and like it's a good theater town.
That's so cool.
That's a good tip too.
Yeah, it is, because I think a lot of people, when they think theater outside of London, they're like, oh, I guess Stratford, I guess like going to the RSC.
Yeah, no, Bath is great. And there's also a great children's theater there that is like, does all children's plays.
Oh, cool.
And is really, really well funded. So if you're going with kids and want them to get some culture, like that's a way to do it.
That is one thing that we did do in England when we were with my sister. We took my niece to go see the play version of We're Going on a Bear Hunt.
Oh, cute.
It was very
cute. Well, it was a marionette version.
It was?
Yeah, it was marionette. Oh, what do you mean it was? You thought those were people?
Oh, I forgot they were puppets.
Is there anything else in West England that you wreck?
Here is my most important wreck, is drink cider.
Mm-hmm.
And none of this American non-alcoholic cider nonsense. There's none of that. That's a invention from the 1920s. They did when they couldn't sell real cider. Cider in the southwest of England is the best in the world. Don't let anybody tell you differently. It's dry. It's none of this like sweet American nasty. Yeah, sweet
I can't drink any of that like Angry Orchard or any of that. It's so just sugary.
Well, a big problem with that stuff is that the apples that they use to make the cider are eating apples, and cider apples are different and they're drier. And you don't want to eat a cider apple because it'll suck the moisture out of your mouth. But you do want to make cider with it.
Interesting.
Yeah, wow. They also add a bunch of sugar to them.
Are there brands that you like a champion?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the first rule is to ask the bartender.
Uh-huh.
And they will know. But if in doubt, if you're in the Southwest, I would drink Thatcher's, because that's at most pubs and it's great and it's dry and delicious.
That's another thing we did, though. We went to a pub when the World Cup was going on and England was playing and they won, and it was like a very fun.
Yeah, that's a environment. That's the kind of sports that I can get behind.
Yeah,
that was awesome.
And we did that. And then that same trip was one where we went to Paris, and then we went to a Parisian bar and watched them win a game. And was like so weird.
Also,
and
just
like, it was so fun.
A lucky jump.
Yeah.
Well, we went during World Cup season, which is a fun thing to do if you want to.
Yeah, it was cool.
Wait, there was something I was going to say about, I remember I did a like 2-month-long study abroad program where I went to Oxford and did like theater stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And
like Shakespeare?
Yeah, it was a lot of Shakespeare and a lot of Pinter.
Oh boy. Pinter went to the same university as me, University of Bristol.
Hell yeah. What's the mascot?
Pinter stuff there. There's no mascots. We don't do mascots. University sports are not a thing, because you can start playing sports in England. Like, all of these football players start professionally when they're 16 years old.
Sure.
Why would they go to university? Already making £27 million a year.
The Bristol Bathers?
Yeah, the Bathers.
That's what you're pitching?
Yeah, that's my pitch. Why? Is Bristol near Bath?
Yeah, it's about 45 minutes away.
Okay.
That's fine. I was just going to say that I drank like the shittiest cider and I thought it was great. Yeah. And then someone was like, why are you drinking that? Like it's lower than like.
Oh yeah. Strongbow. Like you're drinking Strongbow.
Yeah. It was like the Natty Strongbow Light of ciders.
Strongbow occasionally they have here, right?
Yeah. Because it's garbage, but it's available everywhere because it's very easy to make.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That I remember was a big thing. And then they had, I guess they have them now in the States, but in like the main sort of like markety area of Oxford, there was like a build your own milkshake bar. Mm-hmm. And all of us just like lost our minds because we'd never seen something like that before. Oh, yeah. And obviously England has incredible candy. There's one of those in Bath
as well. It's great. It's like you just put any candy bar in a milkshake.
Yeah, that's it. And that England is like heaven for candy bars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the deal with Stratford-upon-Avon?
You know, it's a small Tudor town in the Midlands that has two theaters in it, and Shakespeare was from there.
I only ask because I'm from Stratford, Connecticut.
Oh, okay.
The namesake, obviously. Right,
straightforward Connecticut.
Yeah.
And
so you're Ford from Stratford?
That's correct.
Great.
Founded in 1639. Pretty old town for America.
Pretty old.
Yeah. We killed that witch.
Okay. Everybody's killed a witch.
Not like cool.
But we had the decency afterwards in 2012 to open an ice cream place named after her.
Well, that's nice.
That's nice, something. Right?
It's not nothing, I guess.
Yeah,
it's
I've only been to Stratford a couple of times, and it was always on school trips to go and see.
To see theater.
Honestly, mostly mediocre Royal Shakespeare Company productions of.
Oh, interesting.
Like, oh, let's watch a production of The Tempest where they have just learned about colonialism and are very angry about it. This is definitely a white director putting his real stamp on that.
Yeah.
It's just a lot of like Shakespeare kitsch souvenir stores.
Yeah. The houses are really beautiful. All those Tudor houses are pretty amazing.
Yeah, because I just try to think of it, like my sisters just went to England, right? And so I was like, what is somebody who's a tourist going to England for the first time, like what do they do? And if I go off my sisters, they went to London for a few days. Mm-hmm. Then they went up to Scotland and they spent a few more days. And I think they stopped maybe in some Manchester or some other city on the way back.
They did the Harry Potter studio tour.
And they did the Harry Potter studio tour.
Okay.
Yeah.
What do you think if you're, and not to say, I don't know if you consider yourself an expert on the rest of England, but do you?
I've dabbled.
What other places in England do you recommend to people that are like, this is a place people aren't going that is good and should be more of a tourist?
Oh, God. I actually think that Cambridge is really beautiful and like very easily. Like Oxford's like a real city.
Mm-hmm.
But Cambridge, you can get there, rent a bike. It's very flat and extremely bike friendly.
Uh-huh.
So you can like cycle around Cambridge and have a fun day there very easily.
Yeah.
That's so nice.
I'm trying to think of what, like, I would do if I were just going on holiday in England. I feel like people in, like, Americans very rarely go to Wales.
Yeah.
And especially if you want, like an outdoor-type vacation. It is so beautiful there. And, you know, the coastline is amazing. And then all the way up into the hills are just, like, it's mountainous, but it's not, like... Anybody can climb the mountains in Wales.
Right? Uh-huh.
And it's just really, really beautiful.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I guess I've never thought of going there. I don't know why. I just had, not that I had a bad impression, I had no impression of what Wales was like. Like, absolutely none.
It's culturally underserved.
Yeah. Besides the, like, odd Great British Bake Off contestant who is from Wales and would be making these very Wales-specific cakes.
Yeah,
and
batter breath. Yes. Gotta have that batter breath. It's just a tea cake, isn't it?
You can watch the episode of The Crown about Prince Charles's investiture as the Prince of Wales.
Oh, I could do that.
It's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of like the peak of American understanding of Welsh content.
Well, I mean, that's my understanding. I would consider myself like... Sure. Actually, maybe in this case, I would consider myself an average American in the understanding of England.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, I also think Cheddar is pretty cool.
What's Cheddar?
Cheddar is the town that Cheddar is from.
Sounds great already.
The cheese, heard of it.
Yeah.
And it's a pretty amazing... Like, it's in a gorge. It's called Cheddar Gorge, but there's a village inside of it. So it's, like, a full ravine.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
That has just houses dotted along the bottom of it. And the reason that the cheese from there is so famous is because they have this really extensive cave structures.
Oh.
So they can age this cheese.
Hell yeah.
And the cheddar cheese from Cheddar is like nothing you've ever eaten. It's incredible.
Is it like the perfect version of cheddar or a different taste?
It's so different from what Americans think cheddar is.
Yeah.
It's so much more complex and mature. And it's like the thing with really, really good cheddar is that you should be able to eat a little bit of it and then taste it for the rest of the day. Like it's a strong cheese. Wow. And you get these like amazing little like sugar salt crystals in it. When it's like a really, really good cheddar that it just is, nothing else is like it.
That sounds so
good. I travel for cheese.
Yeah. The cheese in England is really, really spectacular. We don't have to pasteurize our dairy in the way that Americans have to pasteurize dairy. In a way. It shows in the cheese.
Stilton, is that a cheese?
Stilton is a cheese.
Stilton, what did I say? Stilton?
Yeah.
Red
Leicester. You know, you could have a Milton Mowbray mince pie.
Uh-huh.
That sounds good.
I did. We did have a roast dinner, or whatever it's called.
Oh, I love a Sunday roast.
A Sunday roast, puddings. Yes.
Yeah.
That was good. That was really good.
Yeah, we had it at a like a pub with my sister.
Yeah, yeah, that was great. I don't know. I don't. I have no issue with England. I never know what to. That's a weird statement.
What is your fucking problem, Ford?
It's hard. It's hard for me. Like when I think of traveling to a country, there's always like an identity that I associate with the country. And maybe it's because England feels, I don't know, like the parent of America in a way where I'm like, I don't know what the identity, like what I would do as a traveler. Mm-hmm. Besides like museums and like historical buildings and places.
Yeah.
Like, what is a traveler's identity in that place?
I mean, for Americans, my dad has a joke about American tourists that you can always tell American tourists because one is standing on one side of the street and then one is standing on the other side of the street and they're just holding a normal conversation.
Uh-huh.
It's just Americans are so loud that you always know where they are within a 5-mile radius.
That's so funny.
So, you know, maybe keep your voices.
Yeah, well, that's hard for me.
It's a way to be considerate. But yeah, I feel like England and America are so different, and the longer that I spend here, the more time, the more like ways that I find that we are different. Like one of the things that I found when I first moved here is that people compliment my accent a lot. And at first I would get very like snippy about it.
Uh-huh.
But I realized after a while, like, oh, this is me being snippy. This is not them being rude. You just in England would never comment on somebody else's accent because it carries so much class.
Sure.
Baggage with it.
Uh-huh.
You can tell exactly where somebody is in the social strata from their accent that you would never, it would be not as bad, but akin to saying, oh, I love the color of your skin.
Yeah.
Right. In a way that's like, that is a compliment. But also,
right. But also, you're saying something.
Like, there's a history and baggage behind this that you're not grasping.
Yeah.
Wow.
What was it? You were telling me that thing when we were in France about when people ask questions to people and people get really offended.
Oh, I was just reading this book about like.
Oh, that book.
It was sort of. It's called The Bonjour Effect, but it's basically about. It's like these two French Canadian writers who moved to France and then sort of observe like sociologically the language, and. The chapter about bonjour is basically like bonjour linguistically isn't just saying hello. It's this thing called a phatic, which is basically like it's this thing to, it's like a verbal exchange, but it indicates like we're about to have a social interaction where I respect you and you respect me.
Uh-huh.
And so nothing is ruder than like being like, excuse me, can you get me something? Or like, excuse me, do you know where this is in a store? Instead of being like, hi, and then being like, hi back. Mm-hmm. So that's what you're talking about, right?
That was a thing that I remember you telling me, but that's not what I was talking about. Oh. It was about when people talk to each other in France and they ask like, how's work? Or
this was another part of the book where they were talking about like how sometimes French people get confused or like they have mismanaged expectations when they talk to Americans because it's very like – it's very vulnerable for French people to talk about like their job, how they feel about their job or how they feel about their family. Like, they would only ever talk about like more sort of like casual or formal topics to someone they didn't know, but they would talk about something that was more intimate to someone that they wanted to be friends with or that they were friends with. So when they talk to an American's like shitting on their family or shitting on their job.
Right. And I'm in therapy and my therapist said this thing.
Right. Yeah. Yes. They're like, we're friends. And so when that relationship isn't as like deep as they think it is, they're like, wait, I don't understand. I thought we were really close now.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like I fell into that pitfall a few times when I first moved here. Yeah, we don't talk about this. One of the fun things about Pinto we were talking about, which is such a very English thing, is that so many of the conversations in Pinto are like, the curtains, you've had them redone. Yes. Do you like them? No. I'm having an affair. Yes, I know. Why did you get the curtains redone? I just did. I see. Like, there's just a lot of that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is so awfully indicative of the way that we, I guess, don't communicate with each other.
Yeah. Or, you know, on the flip side, it's just Americans being, like, so prying and so, like, overindulgent in what information they want from a person.
Yes. I also had to relearn eye contact when I moved here. Like in England, we don't make eye contact as much as Americans do. In a way that if I make as much eye contact in England as I do here, and now I'm so self-conscious about the amount of eye contact I am or am not making, it would be creepy. But here, if I don't make that kind of eye contact, it would be creepy. Yeah. Right.
That's so weird. That's such a fun like quirk of the world.
Yeah.
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 In terms of you talked earlier about needing a vacation.
Yeah.
And needing a beach vacation in specific. Are there places, do you have a list of like a mental list? Like I always feel like I keep a mental list of like places I want to go to.
Mm-hmm.
And like I don't know when I'll get to them. You know, like it's financial, it's like schedule or whatever, but like there's a list. Like for me, Japan is number one. Uh-huh. I've never been. I know a little bit about it, but it just seems like such an interesting, unique place to go.
Yeah.
Do you have...
Oh, I was just going to say like the when we're going to be able to afford a trip to Japan.
Oh, I have no idea. I have no idea. But where... Do you have places like that? Like places you want to go?
Yeah. I mean, most of them are in the Middle East.
Uh-huh.
I studied archaeology and there's a bunch of... very dorky places that I would love to go to.
Oh, yeah,
I
never... we were reading that you wrote your dissertation on the Seven Wonders of the World.
I did do that.
Do you want to go see?
Well, there's only one left, and it's the Great Pyramid of Giza. The rest of them are
gone.
Gone, but not forgotten. But I would love to go to Troy and Istanbul and Bodrum and, you know, all of these incredible places in Turkey and, like, Turkic Greece.
Yeah.
And then I really want to go to Petra in Jordan.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Very cool.
It's just outside of the fact that it's in Indiana Jones. It's just so beautiful looking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't know, all of those places. I did a summer school in Greece when I was studying for my degree, and we went to Delphi. And it was really the most beautiful place that I've ever been. And just the way that the light worked there was very like, oh, this is why they built Delphi here.
Uh-huh.
I get it now. Like, yeah. Delphi is a place that's, it feels very abstract. Everybody knows about Delphi
mm-hmm.
and the Delphic Oracle. And that's like a pretty common, like, oh yeah, it's Delphi where that girl sat on some smoke and then... made up a bunch of lies, but you go there and you're like, oh no. Yeah, I get it. This is a special place.
Yeah. That's so interesting. Cause I feel like you are really lucky in that you can go to all of these places with context. Uh-huh. And I feel like that is, something we don't always have. And then I'm envious of, or that I feel like we should have done more research to like,
yeah. Research. Yes.
Well, especially with regard to like historical sites.
Yeah. And we'll do like, we'll often do like a historical walking tour in a mm-hmm. city and like do like an audio walking tour or whatever. We do the Rick Steves ones. I don't know if you know our friend Rick Steves. I've asked other guests, have you seen this video? The Sound of the Music video, Sound of Music video with him?
No. That he
narrates.
Look
it up when you get home.
Okay, great.
Not just narrates. He goes to the spot where Maria spins around on the hill.
Like recreate.
And
amazing.
He recreates it in his like New Balance shoes and his khakis.
Beautiful.
And it's absolutely incredible.
Great.
But historical places, that's very interesting. We've never had a guest, I guess, express that desire. I really want to go to Turkey. I don't know if it was so much historical.
You want to eat.
I want to eat.
I also want to eat.
And I want to see all the cats that they have everywhere in Istanbul. Yeah. There's a very good documentary that we know someone that worked on it, Kedi, which is all about how like cats are a communal property in Turkey and in Istanbul. So like everyone just takes care of them and feeds them and like takes them to the vet when they need it. And like,
it's really cute.
It's very, it's delightful. It's a very cute.
If you need a good movie to watch with your family.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I absolutely do. Christmas is coming.
It's a good one. Yeah. Very harmless.
Have you, I guess, tried to figure out how to go to these places yet, or are they still abstract?
They're still a little abstract and also have become more dangerous in the last few years, which is tough. And especially, like, as a woman traveling on my own, are a little hairy.
Have you done a lot of solo travel?
I really haven't traveled very much as an adult.
Yeah.
I don't know. I should, and I.
Well, schedules.
Maybe this is my I know. That's I'm hoping this coming year I will have the time and space to travel more. That's my.
I only ask because we've had a few guests who've been on the show and talked about travel experience or solo travel experiences, and they've been like so transcendent, and I'm so hesitant to do it.
I am kind of, I mean, I do a lot of stuff on my own already. Yeah. Like I'm very comfortable going to the movies on my own and doing a lot kind of stuff. So that's, unless I can find somebody that wants to go to all these dorky archaeology places with me, I'm fine going on my own.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah. Do you feel like you know those, like you're going to these places because you know the story of them already, or you're like, I'll read about them leading up to it and I'll like go in with more context than I have?
I think a little bit of both. And I feel like so many places, I mean, anywhere that was built before the car, which is most of Europe and the Middle East.
Yeah.
Are very walkable, which is great. I mean, I honestly probably better walking than driving in a lot of places. Like where I grew up, it was so hard to learn to drive, which I never really did. I only learned to drive when I moved here because every road where I grew up, you have to drive stick shift, and every road is a one lane uphill.
Oh my God.
Just stone walls on either side. If you make the slightest little mistake, you just destroy a car.
Yeah.
It's very, very stressful.
It's like driving in the Silver Lake Hills. It's
For like narrower and the road, the walls are higher. And it's also wet and the roads are covered in very wet leaves.
Oh, God. Fun.
Yeah.
It's very, very stressful.
Yeah.
Wow. That's it.
Great.
Podcast is done.
Podcast done.
This was fantastic.
Siobhan, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Thank you.
If people want to follow you, what should they do?
I am at Vonnie Tom across all platforms, including non-existent ones that don't exist anymore. I tried to get that handle on places before somebody else takes it.
Did you get it on TikTok?
Oh,
You gotta hurry.
You gotta do it. You gotta get it right now. Oh no, I'm not a youth anymore.
All right, Siobhan, thank you so much.
All right, thank you guys.